Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hi, Letuhle.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Lovely. Great to speak to you again. I hope your day's been good.
My day's been good. I'm actually stuck in traffic, so yeah.
Oh,
it's a lot of providence.
Yes. Now, you know, I want to welcome our listeners as well. Thank you so much to those who are joining us to listen in this particular conversation. It's a pleasure to have each and every one of you joining us. And if you want to actually call us and be part of this conversation, please do so at +27 73 470 3520. And so please do imagine with us that you've been baptized. Is that it? What comes next? So we have so many different expectations of what happens after baptism, with some believing that they will be made immune to sin and temptation. So today's lesson focuses on baptism being the only beginning. Now, patience, take us through today's lesson. Is baptism one and done? You know, event that actually once baptized, always in a perfect space?
No. So, like you just say, baptism is sort of like the first step, right? So yesterday we established that being baptized means being born again, right? So when now you are born again, it means that there are things that are supposed to happen. So just think of it as you have a newborn baby. You know? I mean, that baby cannot eat for themselves. They cannot bath themselves. They cannot do anything for them. You need to actually nurture the baby to grow. So that's how it is with baptism, because you are a newborn baby in the Lord. And so now you're supposed to grow. You are supposed to nurture yourself. So then how do you nurture yourself? How do you grow? So 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter would say that, but we need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, as somebody who has been born again, it is a responsibility, it is a duty that you have to grow in the knowledge of knowing Christ, know who Christ is. You know, it's the process of what we call sanctification, right? Meaning, the moment you get baptized, that's going to happen. You're never going to sin again. You will never come across temptations. No. When you get baptized, yes, heaven is happy. You know that they've received a soul. But then things do happen. You still need to grow. Temptations are going to come. And that's why on a daily basis, you need to read the word of God. On a daily basis, you need to pray. On a daily basis, you need to, you know, every day you commit yourself to the Lord. And so I just want you to also think about when you plant a seed, right? So remember yesterday we said that baptism also symbolizes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So if you think of a seed that has been buried on the ground, if you don't pour water into it, what's going to happen? It's never going to germinate. If you don't take care of it, nothing will ever happen. So seasons will come. You know, it's summer, sometimes it's raining. You need to protect that plant when it's cold. You need to protect it when it's super hot. So that's the life of a Christian, somebody who has been born again. You know, trials will come. Know, storms will come. You need to be able to stand. Something that's just coming into my mind is after Jesus got baptized, right? Immediately he went into the wilderness. Remember in Matthew, after his baptism, chapter 4, he's taken to the wilderness, and there he was tempted. That was after his baptism, you understand? So the idea was that the devil needed to tempt this person, and this person must fall. And that's when temptations come, you know, because you have just told the world, you've just told the devil that, you know what, I am for Christ, I'm committing my life to Christ. He wants to check, we'll say, okay, are you serious about this Christ? So he's going to bring those temptations. So just because you got baptized, it's not going to be a miracle that, oh, when now all of a sudden you are holy, you are pure, you're all of that. There's work that needs to be done. The Holy Spirit will assist us. We don't do it with our power, but then we do it with the power that comes from Christ as he lives in us. So it's a daily thing that happens. It's growth that happens on a daily basis.
Now, tell me, Letuhle, what does it mean dying daily? I mean, Corinthians 15:31 talks about that. And it's a bit of a strange thought, but hey, what does it mean?
Okay, so maybe we go back to the cross, right? So remember when Christ dies at the cross, he dies for the sins of humanity. Ne? Basically, he is carrying the sins of the whole world, and all sin is basically selfishness, right? The things that we want that are against God, those are things for self. And so when Christ dies, he dies that self can be buried. So when Paul says that I die daily, it means I wake up every day and I empty myself of self, of my desires, of the things that I want that are contrary to the will of God. Because sometimes we want things that are not aligned to what Christ wants. So you wake up in the morning and you're like, God, whatever decisions that I'm going to make, you know, may I die in self. May I not be selfish in what I do. Because remember, there are two things, you know, there's selfishness and there's selflessness. There's love and there's selfishness, basically, right? So when we are operating from a point of selfishness, we are doing things for ourselves. We are basically sinning. So it's dying daily is let my opinions die. Let my desires die. What would you have me do? So Jesus would say that my food is to do the will of my Father. Meaning he died daily. Every day he's like, Father, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? You know? And I think another thing that is important to understand is of our lives. You know, you don't have your social life, you don't have your work life, and then you have religion. No. Religion is who you are. It makes up who you are. So basically your religion then determines the kind of work that you do, the kind of person that you marry, the kind of food that you eat, the kind of dress code that you understand. So dying daily is asking, Lord, what would you have me wear? It's no longer what you want to wear. Because our intentions maybe with the dress code is to be seen, and that sometimes, you know, have men look at you if you're a woman or something like that. You know, sometimes the things that you eat is just to glorify yourself, or you just want to indulge. But then dying into self is understanding that all of these other aspects are informed by your religion, are informed by the idea that you are now with Christ. So what would Christ have you do? Where would Christ have you be right now? Are you where you're supposed to be, or you didn't die in self? You know, you're just doing your own thing. So that's what it means to die daily. You know, not my will, but my Father's will.
I see. So are you meaning that everybody who's been baptized will have to go through the process of dying daily?
Yes, we have to. He says that Jesus Christ says that if you want to follow me, then take up the cross. Understand? So yeah, meaning, yeah. Where was Christ going with the cross? He was going to die at Calvary cross for Umnandi and fun times. No, Christianity is not about roses and all of that. Trials will come. Temptations will come. You need to die daily. You know, there are some prayers that we pray, and you're like, Lord, I want this. But then does the Lord want you to...
Hello? Ooh.
Have that. Is that good for you? So part of dying daily is accepting that some of the things that you want are not aligned to perhaps us, for you of sin. So Christ living in us, our hope of glory, as Paul would put it. So whatever he wills us to do, we need to do that. So each and every Christian, if you profess to be a Christian and if you are serious about your Christianity, because sometimes you just speak and say we are Christians, but then in practice we are not.
Yeah. Now, lastly, what instructions did Christ give concerning those who are baptized? I mean, he says teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. What exactly is meant by that?
Okay, so he's telling his disciples that go here, therefore he gives them the Great Commission to go make other disciples and then baptize them. So it means that as a baptized member, I should also follow the instructions to go out there, right, and make other disciples. But then I cannot go make other disciples without having a relationship with Christ. So I need to be praying. Remember, we said that you need to nurture that newborn baby. You need to be praying. You need to be reading the word. Because you're going to go out there and you want to make new disciples because you've also been made a disciple. How? What are you going to tell them? You need to have the word. You need to be praying. You need to be walking with Christ. So as I've been made a disciple, I'm supposed to be making another disciple. And that disciple will make, because at the end of the day, Jesus says that this gospel will be a witness unto all nations. And Revelation chapter 14 will say that, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, right? So that this gospel must be preached to all nations, kindred, and tongues. So at the end of the day, everybody in this world must receive this gospel. A witness must be preached. So not one person can do it as long as you're a Christian, we're supposed to be ministering somewhere, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, your church, your community. And sometimes you don't necessarily need to open the Bible and say Genesis 1 verse 1. Your lifestyle is a sermon. There are people who never get to have a Bible study with, but then your life can draw them to Christ, which is why our lives, our lifestyle are so important. And we need to understand that our lives can either influence people to go to Christ or people to reject Christ.
All in all, what would you say is the summary of this lesson as we close?
As we close, we need to understand that when Christ said that in John chapter 3, verse 5, that the verse that we read, when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," we need to, nobody's going to enter the kingdom without being baptized, right? So it was not a suggestion, you know. We do not have a choice that, oh, I can get baptized or not. But then we need to understand the importance of wanting to get into that relationship with Christ, and also understanding that it doesn't stop there, it's just the beginning. So on a daily basis, wake up and pray, have devotion time. And your devotion time shouldn't just be to pass time, but then it should be so meaningful that when you leave your morning devotion, you actually have something to say to somebody that you're going to meet. Because remember, you're supposed to be making a disciple as you've been made a disciple.
Well, beautiful. Thank you so much, Letho Kuhle, for joining us. It's been a fantastic time to speak to you today and yesterday. I pray that you are blessed beyond measure for taking time to talk to God's people. And I hope that the traffic is not too bad now.
No, it's okay. Thank you very much. I hope everyone was blessed. And I hope people make the decision to actually have a relationship with Christ.
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.